describing what exists on the top of the mountain, what is the highest pinnacle of consciousness that a soul can attain by great mercy. Again, these glimpses come to us from above through great devotees like Srila Sukadeva Goswami from the Bhagavatam, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his writings. Very kindly they leave these for us so that we can understand things in the proper perspective. And Srila Prabhupada, his words and his books. So perhaps, either by frustration of our life at the bottom of the mountain, getting washed continuously and rocks falling on our heads. That's what it feels like to me living at the bottom of the mountain. There's always a rock falling on my head or some avalanche or another. And ultimately, death is that avalanche that crushes the body. So somehow, if we are very fortunate, either by just being tired of the avalanche of material existence, or by the mercy of those souls who have seen above the clouds, and maybe by their mercy we have caught a glimpse, or maybe we just trust them when we hear them say that something wonderful is there. So perhaps, based on those desires, maybe very powerful desires, or maybe very wavering desires, we begin the ascent. Maybe we're thinking, oh, I'll go up a few feet, a few meters, and I'll see how I like that view. So the ascent begins with desire. But really, to make it to the top, one needs a very powerful capacity. People who are mountain climbers, they train for this. They have to carry great weights with them. Again, who's climbed mountains? Who's the experienced mountain climbers? What is the most important thing that you remember to take, that you have to take? Yes? What's something that you have to take? You have to climb. What do you have? Something to eat, yes. Something to eat, some water. Water, some shelter. Water, food. These are essential. They give one energy, because no matter how powerful one is, it's simply not enough unless one gets the proper energy supply from somewhere else. In spiritual life, let's talk about capacity first, and then we'll move to the most important ingredient to carry with us. Capacity. Let's hear a little bit of great devotees so we know the qualities that is required. I've picked just a few here. Dhruva Maharaj. When we think of Dhruva Maharaj, what canto is Dhruva Maharaj spoken of the Bhagavatam? Fourth canto. Now when you think of Dhruva Maharaj, just think about his situation. That he was, he became angry, he was insulted by his stepmother and his father. He was trying to simply climb the lap of his father, who was sitting on the throne, and his stepmother said, "You can't sit there. Don't you understand? You have the misfortune of not taking birth in my womb. If you want to sit on the throne, You should find out the Supreme Lord Narayan. And you should pray to Him. And then you should die and take birth in my womb, and then you'll have your desires fulfilled. What an incredible thing to say to a young boy. And Dhruva, being a Kshatriya, was furious. He took that energy of his anger, of his insult, of his envy even, and he focused that into what? Determination. Unwavering, fixed determination. Yes, I shall go to the forest. I shall find the Lord. And by His grace, I'll get my kingdom. 5 years old. Narada Muni heard of his determination. He benedicted him with instructions. He first even tried to break his determination with good advice. But no, Dhruva wanted this one thing. He ended up performing such incredible austerities. He wasn't eating. By the end, he even gave up eating the leaves that we sometimes see falling from the trees. He wouldn't even eat those anymore. He was just breathing, and then he gave up breathing. He was just focused on seeing the Lord. Determination. It requires determination. These are the qualities. Parikshit Maharaj, great devotee, king, he was cursed to die within 7 days. He could have counted the curse. He didn't. He said, I've done something wrong. I've placed a garland of a dead snake around the exalted Brahmana, Samyak Rishi's neck. I've insulted him. Let this all fall on me. He took full responsibility for his actions. He didn't blame others. Not a hint of, well, it's his fault, it's this one's fault, this one's fault. Nothing like that at all. Just simply, I've done this. I'm responsible. Now what do I do? He accepted reality. Harsh, stark reality as it was. And he proceeded properly in that way. Ambarish Maharaj. So famous for what? Of course, he was so powerful that when Durvasa Muni sent the chakra, sent this giant demon to kill him, that demon was killed, practically speaking, or sent back by the Lord's chakra. He was protected by the Lord, Ambarish Maharaj was. What caused him so? His mind was fully, continuously focused on the Lord. Focused, continuously, all of his senses. With his hands, he was the king. He did all the deity worship himself. He didn't pay Brahmins to do it. He did all the deity worship himself. And by his potency, the kingdom was managed. First of all, Savai Krishna, Mana, Parada Vindayor. First of all, he engaged his mind on Krishna, just Krishna and nothing else. Another quality required. Prahlad Maharaj. Talking about someone in a dangerous situation. The father is supposed to be the protector of the boy. The greatest protector. And his own father was trying to kill him. Prahlad kept no enmity in his own heart. Krishna was there completely. He didn't participate in the fighting. Someone at Prabhupada's disappearance day, one Mataji, Savabhavan and his wife, told a story. She asked Prabhupada, she had gone to Prabhupada and said to him, she had a doubt in her heart. She said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, spiritual path, but look at the devotees, they're always fighting. always quarreling and fighting with each other. How could this possibly be? And Prabhupada's reply, as she said, was, if there's fighting, it takes two. There's fault on both sides, always. Someone doesn't have the humility. There's a lack of humility. Prahlad was so humble. There was no enmity coming out of him against his father's horrendous aggressions. Continuous, horrendous aggressions to kill him. This is a quality that's required. Trinarapi sunichena. Yudhisthira Maharaj. I'll tell the story that Satchinandan Maharaj told yesterday, but it was slightly little with a difference in it. Same story though. That Krishna asked Duryodhana, go out and search the countryside and find some one person who's better than you. I heard it a little differently. Duryodhana came back after a long effort. I could not find anyone. Krishna sent Yudhisthira out. Find someone worse than you, lower than you, more unqualified than you. And Yudhisthira came back after the same amount of time and said, I could not find a single person. What consciousness does that take? Talk about introspective behavior. Talk about humility. And this person is the king of the world, and therefore he's actually qualified to be the king of the world. Prabhupada once said that the qualification for actually ruling the world is being a Mahabhagavat. And look what this Mahabhagavat. Krishna killed so many thousands, millions of people to place this one person as the king of the world. This Mahabhagavat is the king of the world. And when he's sent out by Krishna to find someone in the world who is more unqualified than him, he cannot find one. And if all this hasn't made you feel bad about yourself, let me read this. Prabhupada's instructions. Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 20, purport. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other, but since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of Lord Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. He's saying both were envious. It is their duty, because both were Vaishnavas, to adjust the cause of their envy, somehow or another. This is a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually amongst one another, like monkeys. They fight perpetually amongst one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of life, of human life. And therefore, please listen carefully to this. What is the cure of this monkey-like behavior in the world? There is a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious towards one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty.
Where is this place to be found? First canto?
20th chapter, 18th text, purport by Srila Prabhupada. What hopes Prabhupada had for the Krishna consciousness movement? And it's easy to say, yeah, look what they're doing. That Krishna consciousness movement, that ISKCON. But look what I'm doing. Feeling worth? Are we beginning to come down now from the clouds of the flute music of the meditation, the beautiful? We're beginning to learn. We're beginning to learn. Some of you are great expert mountain climbers already, but this is what we need. We'll talk about it directly in a moment. Listen to this one. This is from the Path of Perfection, Prabhupada again. Page number 5, one of the small books that we distribute to the masses so that they can learn something. Listen. Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, was God conscious, Krishna conscious, but he was not satisfied in keeping this knowledge within himself. Had he continued to live alone in God consciousness, he would not have met crucifixion. But no, being a devotee and naturally compassionate, he also wanted to take care of others by making them God conscious. Although he was forbidden to preach God consciousness, he continued to do so at the risk of his own life. This is the nature of a devotee. Examine the petty selfishness in my heart. This is the nature of a non-devotee. Non-devotees stay at the bottom of the mountain. The avalanches continuously fall on them. This is from Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 21st chapter, 47th verse, Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj is the topmost example of a Vaishnava who is always compassionate towards sinful persons suffering a hellish life within this material world. Krishna is therefore known as Para Dukha Dukhi Kripam Budhi, or one who is compassionate towards others' sufferings and who is an ocean of mercy. Like Prahlad Maharaj, all pure devotees of the Lord come to this material world with full compassion to deliver the sinful. No self-absorption whatsoever. No petty, neurotic, self-indulgent self-absorption. Me, 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 this problem, me, 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 me. They are full of compassion to deliver the sinful. They undergo all kinds of tribulations, suffering them with tolerance, because that is another qualification of a Vaishnava who tries to deliver all sinful persons from the hellish conditions of material existence. Vaishnavas are therefore offered the following prayer: Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhayevacha patitanam pabinebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Prabhupada instituted this as a regular part of the morning program of ISKCON. Why? Why? Because the difficulty about living amongst Vaishnavas is the tendency to take everyone for granted and therefore to commit offenses continuously towards devotees. And therefore, he instituted this practice of offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas, to all the devotees, and see how everything that is meant to have so much juice and life in it, which is meant for our benefit, to remove the offenses we tend to commit, we make it into a mechanical, ritualistic, feelingless, mindless act. As a pure Vaishnava converts matter into spirit, I can convert spirit into matter. And then Prabhupada says what it is. And then listen to the last line after he gives a paraphrasing of the meaning of that. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They are just like desire trees who can fulfill the desires of everyone. And they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And then Prabhupada says, the chief concern of a Vaishnava is to deliver the fallen souls. And then this is something from a lecture that Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan. April 23rd, 1975, on Bhagavatam 176, short excerpt. So when one understands Krishna, he is Krishna conscious. He becomes non-envious. Envy is one of the riddhya dolabam, weaknesses of heart, matsarja, weaknesses of heart, that plant anartas in the heart, that disallow us from having a taste in chanting Krishna's holy names. So when one understands Krishna as Krishna conscious, he becomes non-envious, because he understands that nothing can happen without Krishna's will, and he is living, as Prabhupada explains in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, a Vaishnava devotee lives in the mercy of Krishna. He's seeing Krishna's mercy in everything. Even if we get hit by a stick, do we yell at the stick and become angry at the stick, the instrument? No. We go and have a conversation with the person who wielded the stick. And who is the ultimate wielder of the stick in the material world? Does anything happen? Anumanta, the permitter, Bhutta Bhakta Maheshwaram, Paramatmeti Chapyukto, Dehesmin Purushapara. If you have complaints, take them to the right person. When one understands Krishna, he is Krishna conscious, he becomes non-envious. No more envious, Prabhupada says. He wants to become friend. Surida Savabhutanam. So this Krishna consciousness movement means we want to become friends of everyone, because they are suffering without Krishna consciousness. We are going door to door, city to city, village to village, town to town, to preach this Krishna consciousness. Yes, that's for the brahmacharis, the young, enthusiastic ones who are here for 1 to 3 years and then they outgrow that. But how does Prabhupada fit into that category? Is he, because he did it at 70, leaving here, Vrindavan. Going door to door, city to city, village to village, town to town, to preach this Krishna consciousness. And by the grace of Krishna, Prabhupada says, we are attracting the attention of intelligent class of men. So if we continue this process, what process? Not to become envious. That is animal nature, dog's nature, hog's nature. Human nature should be para dukkha dukkhi. One should be very unhappy by seeing others in miserable condition. So everyone is suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. Anarta upasamam shakshad bhakti yogam arhokshajam lokasya ajanataha. People have no knowledge about it. So we have to push on this movement. Lokasya jan vidvam chakre satvita samhita. We have to push on this movement, Srimad Bhagavatam. So another name of Krishna consciousness movement is Bhagavata Dharma. If we accept it, then the whole human society will be happy, Prabhupada says. Thank you very much. So, here is the capacity. These are the things that we have to take with us, the qualities that we take with us as we're climbing the mountain to see Vrindavan, and especially to hear the sound of the flute as it sounds from the top of the mountain, and to join the residents of Vrindavan as they serve Krishna so full-heartedly with love. These are the qualities required to climb that mountain. Non-enviousness, compassion, cooperativeness. Krishna was so pleased with the Prachetas because of why? Because of their cooperative spirit. Somehow or another, cooperating. So, when... let me just go back to the little poem that we read yesterday. Desire, and that desire is so required. In the beginning, it may be just to escape the horrors of being below at the depths of the mountain and being crushed continuously by the avalanche of material existence. Yes, that desire to climb the mountain, it may start like that. It is necessary perhaps, but it is not sufficient to reach it to the mountain top. We need a different kind of desire. A pure desire. We have to know something about Krishna. We have to love Krishna. So desire is yearning to attain mountain heights. Capacity. Ability to climb, the qualities required to climb that mountain. We just heard of them. We heard Prabhupada instruct us. We heard of Dhruva Maharaj, Pariksit Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, focusing their mind only on Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, completely non-envious, satisfied. Capacity, the ability to climb. Without desire, why brave the steep ascent? But without capacity, who has reached a lofty peak? I examine myself. Desire, capacity, O mind, give birth to humility. No one makes it up the mountain. Without that, that is the sustenance, that is the water, the food that allows us to climb. That is, practically speaking, recently I heard it said, one of the devotees, Keshava Bharati Maharaj, he said to me, isn't it true that prema, love for Krishna, and humility are actually the same? Trivikram Maharaj once told me that, Trivikram Maharaj, a feisty devotee, he was massaging Prabhupada in London, Bury Place, in 1970. He was massaging Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was going to give a lecture after. He was massaging Prabhupada, and he told me that he was trying to fire Prabhupada up as he was massaging him. Prabhupada, you're so strong, you're so powerful. Give him. And he said, I was thinking, I was like the trainer of a fighter in the ring between rounds. Between rounds, the trainer is massaging the fighter and telling him, you get out there and you fight, hit him this way, hit him that way. And he was massaging Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you speak the truth so strongly, so directly. Speak, he was saying so many things like that. And finally Prabhupada looked at him and said, stop. I am only a servant. I have to borrow one of the very sweet phrases of Satchinandana Swami, with his permission, of course. My dear devotees, I can't say it in such a charming way as Maharaj does, but my dear devotees, if you study the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, the creation, yes, the very boring chapters and chapters and verses on the creation of the universe, you will discover so many amazing things that will help you attain the higher topics in the other cantos. And one is, when the creation comes, the souls are injected into this creation, and the first thing that, practically speaking, the first ingredient of the creation is ahankar, false ego, a false sense of self, a false sense of who I am. And then the rest of the creation is to provide all the ingredients of coverings to cover us more and more and more and more, to provide false senses of who we are. And who aren't we? The material energy will give us so many senses of who we aren't. Male, white, American, Australian, householder, this, that, guru, Bhagavatam speaker, lover of Govardhan, lover of all these imaginary, actually crazy things that aren't really me, false senses. Of course, if I could one day become a speaker, that's something different. But it's never lover of Govardhan. One time Prabhupada was sent a poem by one of his very dear disciples. And it was a rhyming poem, and the last line of every stanza was, "And please accept this devotee, me as your devotee." And Prabhupada replied, when he sent it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada replied, "Very nice poem, except don't say, 'Please accept me as your devotee.' Say, 'Please accept me as your servant.'" To become a servant of the servants of the servants, is the difficult thing in this world. It goes exactly contrary to the essence of material existence, which means ahankar, false ego, which makes me think whatever body I'm in, whatever mind I am, it makes me think that I am the master. Ahankar vamuda ma karta hum. I am the master, I am the doer. And we see the quality in all Vaishnavas is incredible humility, because there is no false ego. One can't imitate this. From now on, I vow that I will not display my false ego anymore. That's what I'll say, and then I'll try my best to hide it behind my back so that everyone will think that I'm such a humble soul for a while, but it will come out. It must come out until I actually become a devotee. As the humility grows, as the roots of the tree, we'll change our metaphor for a moment, as the roots of the tree go deeper, 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 that's the humility. Only then can that tree grow high. High trees that have shallow roots get knocked over easily. When the wind blows, the trees get knocked over. To climb the mountain, my dear devotees, we have to learn, we have to examine what the capacity, listen to this. Quite appropriately, this is an untitled poem by a person who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met in Prayag and placed his lotus feet on his head to empower him to understand rasa, to understand and explain rasa, the deep, the intricacies of the soul's intimate and personal relationship with Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami, who all Gaudiya Vaishnavas follow. This is an untitled poem that he wrote of two simple verses. One, Prabhupada was once on a walk and in California somewhere in the United States, and he saw a car, and it was a Thunderbird. A Ford Thunderbird. And he said, "Oh, Thunderbird, there is also a poem about a Thunderbird." Has anyone ever heard that lecture where Prabhupada said that, or that talk? This is the poem, one verse that Srila Rupa Goswami wrote about a Thunderbird. It is called the Chataka Bird. And this Chataka Bird has a specific quality, that it will only drink water when it's flowing, when it's falling from a rain cloud. Only that water that's flowing when it's falling. He won't touch the water when it hits the ground. But when it's falling, he catches that water in its beak. So we can understand that we will have a Chataka bird is a very thirsty bird. And he's always, always following rain clouds. Now, a rain cloud, and we see this in the monsoon season in Vrindavan, when there's rain, there is also thunder and lightning. Does the Chataka bird want water, or does he want thunder and lightning? But he wants water so much that he's willing to brave the thunder and lightning to get the water. Why does he want water so much? He needs it. He can't live without water. So he's willing to follow the clouds. This, Srila Rupa Goswami says, is a thunderbird. A Chataka bird. And he makes the comparison of himself to this bird. This is the translation from Srila Prabhupada of this verse. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. I am very weak. I am very weak and lazy to do even the smallest devotional service. So when I hear of the peerless and difficult to perform services performed by the great devotees in ancient times, my heart burns with despair. O Lord, O killer of Agasura, when I hear that your waves of mercy splash everyone, from the demigod Brahma down to the most insignificant creature, then my heart becomes sprinkled with a cooling drop of hope. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, how they live their lives. There's a famous story of Raghunath Das Goswami just crying and crying and crying and crying on the banks of Radhakund, and someone saying to him,
My dear Goswamiji, you are from such an aristocratic and wealthy family. You are so thin, there is no need to cry due to your hunger. Just go home. Just go home, you'll get your food. Don't cry. And his reply was... This is my pleasure. Something, I'm paraphrasing. Because living completely materially renounced, refusing to accept any material conveniences, practically speaking, paying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of obeisances in the dust of Vrindavan every day, chanting 2,128,000 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra every day, associating with the devotees, giving mercy to everyone he met, neither eating nor sleeping, or having a place of shelter practically. This is what devotee means. All the taste is on this side. All the taste is on this side. None of the taste is on the other side, on the material side. So on one level, we actually have no hope to climb the mountain. But the saving hope, the nourishment, the food, is just this one thing of humility. Understanding that I have no qualities. So therefore, when I hear your waves of mercy splash everyone from the demigod Brahma down to the most insignificant creature, then my heart becomes sprinkled with a cooling drop of hope. I've learned in the last few years an embarrassing technique of self-realization. There are many seminars that teach techniques, and I will reveal one to you, but this is, at least for me, a very embarrassing one. The material world, its business, like living on the bottom part of the mountain, is to allow rocks to fall upon where? Yes, your head. This is the very nature of the material world. It is certified with this power. Dukkhalayama shashvatama nitya sukha loka. We want to make a comfortable situation here. It is the nature of the false ego. It is the nature of the material mind. But Krishna sends the rocks continuously. But that's not the technique. That's Krishna's technique. The technique is to watch your mind when you get hit by a rock. Watch what emotion comes. See. And this is where it becomes, this is the confession parts. See where your mind goes for shelter. My dear devotees, please, because you are dear devotees, I'm telling you these things. These are confessions. If the mind takes shelter of any other emotion other than surrender to Krishna, watch your mind. Does it become angry?
Does it withdraw and hide? Aggressive? Compromise? Envious? Critical? Who do you criticize? Where does your mind go for shelter in difficulty? And understand that this rock is just the smallest pebble compared to the avalanche that is one day going to fall upon my head, and which is known as death. 1 year ago, one very dear friend, Mataji, was sitting right over here on the last day of this retreat, not sitting, lying on a mattress, and we went around the room, not the room, by this hour, and we asked the devotees their prayer to Giriraj, and she said, I pray to Giriraj for a shelter beyond this body. She had cancer. And 2 months later, she left her body in Sri Vrindavan Dham, both leaving the body and the fact that she left in Vrindavan Dham were in fact completely against her will. No one wants to leave the body. She wanted to be in a different place when she left her body, in Perth, Australia, for many reasons. But she had prayed to Giriraj. Do you remember Suchi Rani last year? She was lying just over here. I pray for a shelter beyond this body. She was being hit by the avalanche known as cancer, and it was only going to increase in the next 2 months. But due to her sincerity and devotional service and her taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, of Gopinath, of Giriraj, she tried to leave, but Gopinath said, no, you are going to stay here in Vrindavan. And she couldn't go. And she was surrounded by devotees. And Jagatrini Mataji told her, and she was leaving, and Jagatrini Mataji told her, chant, and more for our benefit. Her last words were, I am. Because we were training her to chant in her mind. This takes mercy. This takes humility. This takes knowing that we don't have the strength ourselves, the qualities. This is mercy coming from the other side to us. When we have these moods, mercy comes to us. And then, samasritam ye parapalava plavam, mahatpadam punyaya cho marari, kripam buddhi vatsapadam parampadam, parampadam yadvipadam natesham. Then the ocean of the material world shrinks down to the size of the water that fills a calf's hoofprint. And that is easy to cross over. The ocean, the mountain, comes to us if we have an unflinching, complete desire and won't accept anything else. Like the Chataka bird. Do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rain or throws a thunderbolt. But then, the desire, that intense desire, the ever-increasing intense desire. But then, when examining one's capacity, one must come to the point of humility and needing mercy. So we are in a place of mercy. Let us take advantage of the time to increase our desire, to increase our examination of our capacity, and know that we need mercy, which requires humility. So, O mind, desire, capacity, O mind, give birth to humility. Because without your humility, there is no surrender. And the essence of surrender, gotripte varanam tata, protection and dependence. Reach out for Prabhupada's blessings. Preach in gratitude for unearned gifts. By the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan, may a drop of desire enter our hearts. By his mercy, let that be nourished by a drop of humility. May we all become soaked by a cloudburst of mercy from Giriraj Govardhan. I have to stand up again. May we chant Hare Krishna with softened hearts, like babies crying for mother. May Giriraj Govardhan's blessings join with those of Govinda and Gopinath, with those of Nittai and Gaur, and may Sri Rupa's follower, Srila Prabhupada, with the blessing of all the Vaishnavas and the holy names of Krishna, may we drink deeply of Krishna consciousness and become happy, longing to hear and serve the song of the flute from atop the mountain. Bolo Giriraj Govardhan Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Govardhan Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Govardhan Maharaj ki. Jai Jai Shri Hare. So my offering will be continue with more equipment required to climb the mountain tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No.